Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Jerome, and I am a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and Father Boniface. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Well, for this show, we agreed to talk about the subject, the benefit of the doubt, just the benefit of the doubt in general. So the reason I wanted to talk about this was, well, that's a good question. I think it's a question that many people may have that they never really articulate fully, but a question which looms in their mind nonetheless. But the question, when exactly should one give the benefit of the doubt? Who should one give the benefit of the doubt? I think we all know.
Well, you should always give it to me.
Yes. Yeah. Always give it to Boniface. I know that now. Father Boniface. No, yeah. So we all know that immediately. We all really appreciate being given the benefit of the doubt. So if we're going to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, as the Lord commands us, we should give others the benefit of the doubt as well, just for that reason alone. Obviously, it's charitable. We know immediately it's charitable to give the benefit of the doubt. But some questions do come to mind if you really seriously ask this question. I mean, for example, you know, we're called to be rational, to be reasonable. You know, it's never a sin to be unreasonable. Being, you know, virtuous is to be reasonable, and God wants us to be virtuous in every way, right? But if you're going to be really virtuous, you should seek the truth, like to the best of your ability. Well, and go ahead.
No, I agree with that, but I think part of why we give the benefit of the doubt is that the truth is that the judge of souls is Jesus Christ. And so giving that benefit when we don't really know, especially when we have such incomplete information, like a guy cuts you off on the road, and you're going to think, oh, what an awful driver. What is he thinking? But as far as we know, his wife has just been taken to the hospital and is seriously injured, and he just has other things on his mind. We would never know that. And so because we have such incomplete information, we're better off saying, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and not pretend to be other people's judges. And this is especially useful for when we struggle with judging people in our minds. And we usually tend to judge them harshly, or when we get angry quickly at people, to step back and say, wait a minute, I don't even know the circumstances of the situation. I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, so let's say though, just to take an example, like say you have a roommate and you know, several times before, he has stolen a little money out of your wallet. This never happened to me, really. But like, I don't know, just an example off the cuff. He stole like $5. It's just a small amount, but it was like $5. And you're missing five. You think you're missing $5. You think, and it's happened before, and you know he took it. He admitted to it. And you think you're missing $5 again, and you say, did you take $5 again out of my wallet? And he says, no, I didn't. And you think, well, should I give him the benefit of the doubt? And given the history, or just whatever you want, fill in some history, but there are occasions in life where it's more probable that the person did sin against you, like they did steal or lie or cheat or whatever it is. So the reasonably speaking, it is more probable, just say hypothetically, it is more probable that, let's say like 55% just to give a, that they really did. Should you, is it not unreasonable to assume that they didn't when it's more probable that they did sin in some way?
Well,
I don't think it's our business to judge hearts at all. You know, I mean, this is the problem. I think this, what are we doubting? I think we would be doubting goodwill. I mean, I think there's one thing about judging a heart, which is, seems to be what you're talking about. And then the other thing is estimating or trying to predict behavior, which is something different. You know, one is to judge the heart. The other is to act in a way that minimizes your likelihood of getting hurt yet again by this person. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, my rule normally is like one dog gets bite. Every dog gets one bite. You know,
first bite's free.
What about three strikes? One bite or three strikes?
Well, I think that's a very good point, because the distinction is one of judgment versus prudence. That we say that I'm not going to judge a person's soul. There might be a lot going on there that I have no idea about. I'm not going to say that he is an evil person, but in prudence, I'm not going to leave my wallet lying around my apartment anymore, because whether he did it or not, money's disappearing. And so you have to make a prudent decision looking at all the facts and the truth of the reality around you. But part of seeing that truth is that we don't know the full who's truly guilty on the level of their soul. And so it's drawing that distinction between saying, yeah, the guy who cut me off, what he did was wrong. You shouldn't cut people off on the road, but I'm not going to judge him because I don't see what's really going on in his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when the stakes are higher than $5, it gets kind of more difficult. Like,
right.
But one thing that I often help people who have lost someone and in the midst of all of their grief, they're trying to deal with, you know, the estate of the person that died. Say it's one of their parents, you know, and often really bitter disputes can break out about who gets what, and you know, it's not fair to divide it equally because this person spent all of their time taking care of mom or dad, and you know, you can these very bitter, lengthy things, you know, and in a sense, it makes it really hard for them to give the benefit of the doubt to someone who does have the authority to divide the state. And it seems that they're doing so unjustly when it's large sums of money or property. But I try to encourage people in general that to be fair, but to realize that there's a lot more at stake than the money. You know, that, you know, money, you know, large sums of money can make a real difference in people's lives and can cause great injustice if they're denied. But you know, I've also seen that people's, you know, the resentment, you know, the breakdown in communication, the divisions in families, the divisions of, you know, it's that can be far more damaging in the long run. It's like the money will someday, you know, be spent. The money, in other words, the money will someday be in someone else's pocket sooner or later, you know. But that's a time when, you know, it's really hard to give someone the benefit of the doubt, but what can help you to do that is to look at the much bigger picture, to look at the eternal perspective of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was really, thought a lot since I read St. Thomas. St. Thomas has a little article on this, on the benefit of the doubt. And he discusses these, I think, if I remember correctly, various objections to, you know, giving why we should give someone the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, the substance of his answer is, look, we don't know souls. We don't know, that ties in with an article on rash judgment about, first of all, we're not the judge. Second of all, it's impossible to know all the details that go into making a clear judgment regarding what really is hidden. In the soul. But also, we're by nature prone to suspicion. Because of original sin, we're insecure. He doesn't use that word, but it's true. We're insecure and we're by nature prone to suspicion. So our tendency is to be suspicious and to suspect others of sin. And so the principle of charity obliges us to counteract that by, in general, striving to give the benefit of the doubt. So that's the general principle. And of course, it's charitable. It causes people, I mean, people just really do enjoy being given the benefit of the doubt. And it makes them, it is an act of mercy, which makes them automatically, I mean, the tendency is to make them grateful and want to return goodwill in some other way. We'll continue with some more questions after this break. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Jerome, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic, and Father Boniface. We've been discussing the benefit of the doubt, when to give it, and when to hesitate.
Yeah, I think it's easier to give someone the benefit of the doubt when, in a sense, they're mostly trustworthy. They've mostly been pretty reliable. Like, if people slip up once in a while, but pretty much they're reliable, it's a lot easier to give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, well, this is just one slip up. You know, it's harder when, you know, maybe this person really has slipped up a lot, or it's been a long time since they have been faithful, you know, to what they promised you, for example. But if you think about it from another perspective, I think we were talking about this before, Father Jerome, you know, even if you give someone the benefit of the doubt and you're wrong, you know, they did break their commitment somehow, you know, from their perspective, they might think, wow, okay, that might, you know, this person still trusted me again. Maybe that will motivate me to change. I mean, it may not, but it could. And then on the other hand, suppose this is the time when they really are turning the corner. They're finally getting ready to turn the corner. And if you deny them this last time, it's like your whatever little hope of change that they had is going to be kind of squelched. Mm-hmm. So, but then again, you know, depending on what the consequences of this, but giving the benefit of the doubt are, there might be reasons not to.
Yeah, you definitely have to use good judgment when doing that. It's one thing not to judge a person. It's another to be reckless, such as if you're, say, picking a babysitter to hire, you want to be very careful in selecting someone that isn't going to lead to tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to think of particular examples. I know that's happened to me several times in my life.
I'm sorry.
No. Where someone gave me, where someone did give the benefit of the doubt. And I'm not sure at all, I can say for certain, in all of those times, I didn't fully deserve that. Times in my childhood is when it made the most profound impact on me. But I remember times when my mom gave me the benefit of the doubt sometimes, and I didn't fully deserve it. But her giving it to me, like, just, it really made me avoid whatever it was. So my memory's fuzzy.
Well, I think it creates a sense of obligation in people that, okay, they've trusted me, and I have an obligation to be trustworthy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, especially for a child, but for all of us, I mean, it's, yeah, you can really break someone. I mean, hurt them emotionally by, like, never really giving the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. You can paint people into a corner where you've decided they're an evil person or a bad person and never give them a chance to be anything else. Mm-hmm. And you've given up on any chance of redemption in that person's life. And it's dangerous and unjust to treat people that way.
Yeah. And it can be taken even further than sometimes, you know, even if someone then does turn a corner and then you even suspect that, okay, well, they just must want something, you know, you can just keep going back until it becomes a conspiracy theory that there's no way out of for that person. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, if you're the one that has that, you really end up the one being imprisoned, you know, because you can't even perceive the goodness, you know, or the hope, you know, and all you can be is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But on the other, sometimes it's good not to give the benefit of the doubt. I can remember when I was a kid, we had a babysitter, speaking of babysitters, who invited a few of her high school friends over when I was a little kid, you know. And then their friends invited some more friends over, and their friends invited some more friends. So pretty soon, like, you know, the driveway is full of cars, and the kid, you know, they're drinking, and, you know, while they're, and the we kids were not being really watched. And so I'll never forget our neighbor, Mrs. Robinson. She had these mirrored sunglasses. She storms over. She did not give the benefit of the doubt that this was something that should have been happening next door. And one of the kids is, "The cops are here. The cops are here." And they just ran and got out of there. But it's like, that's a situation where it's good that Mrs. Robinson didn't give the benefit of the doubt that this should have been happening when our parents were away.
Right. Yeah. No, there's countless examples of that. Yes. Where the parents or whoever gives the benefit of the doubt, and it's nothing. But I mean, there's all these signs that, wait a second.
The benefit of the doubt is a good general principle, but it's certainly no absolute. Sometimes right. You got to say something wrong is happening and I need to step in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Or at least really check, especially when, especially concerning like children or someone who, you're responsible for. So primarily with children, but also with someone you really love, when there's signs that maybe something is wrong, it's not charity. It could be a sin of omission to like always give the benefit of the doubt despite all these signs. Like real charity is maybe this person needs help. You know, maybe I need to.
And St. Thomas Aquinas puts under charity, one of the acts of charity is fraternal correction, which is not just being harsh and chiding people, but it's not falling into an indifference about other people. It's being willing to step in and say, "Hey, is something going wrong here? Or is everything all right? Can you explain why you did this? Because it looks kind of bad. Can you give me an explanation of what was going on?" You know, some way to intervene and try to help someone instead of just being indifferent and watching someone going the wrong way. Like if we were on a hike and you see someone going down the wrong trail and you're like, hey, wait, no, the trail's over here. You're going to get lost that way. Well, it's the same in our spiritual life. You see someone walking the wrong way and you just say, whatever. That's not an act of charity. And so there's that need also, you don't want to say, "I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows a shortcut that'll work out." You know, you don't want to use it as a way, the benefit of the doubt as a way to justify indifference.
Right, because sometimes not giving someone the benefit of the doubt when you shouldn't, yeah. You know, is going to make you look awkward if you're wrong. You know, like just as you see someone who's older and, you know, they look like they're, you know, having some kind of difficulty and, you know, you say, "Hey, is everything okay?" You know, like are you, and then they say, "Oh, I'm fine. Then you feel like you're being intrusive. But in that chance that they're not okay, you know, they'll probably be very grateful that you asked. But sometimes we avoid doing that because we don't want to be that person who kind of is intrusive and nosy and, mm-hmm. you know, it gets in the way of someone else.
Yeah. But if you start with that, you know, "Hey, are you doing okay?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're asking a question. I mean, no one can be offended by that. No. You're not making the judgment, but you know, and if they are in need of help and they're open to it, you know, they'll respond. But
yeah. I think that's a good rule for fraternal correction is to proceed with questions and
yes.
give them a chance to explain. You start off like, "Hey, I can't believe you did that. I mean, where do you think that conversation is going to go?"
Right, exactly. You know, it's interesting. Jesus in the scripture, I think he asks way more questions than he does actually make statements. I think that's right. It's even a majority. And, I try to remember that even as a confessor and everything. Sometimes you don't really have time, but but asking questions.
Yeah, and speaking of the gospel, I mean, I guess a good example in the gospel of giving some of the benefit of the doubt is the unforgiving steward, you know, who begs his master to forgive him for this huge debt, astronomical debt, in terms of the currency of the time, and then he refuses to forgive his fellow servant who owes him a fraction of the cost, you know, and that's I think it, that goes back to that thing. Well, who should we give the benefit of the doubt to? You say, "Well, to me." Yeah. And when someone gives me the benefit of the doubt, then I think, okay, well, then I don't owe anything. You know, that was just something that someone was nice. I can just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is saying, no, you know, you have been given the benefit of the doubt and therefore you must give the benefit of the doubt to others. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't just get reset and everything's at zero now. You have to, you know, you are in really debt yourself in a whole different way.
Yeah. No, that's, and I mean, now, so when it comes to not giving the benefit of the doubt, I do think as long as we have charity as our goal, that's the most important thing. I mean, but you have to be conscientious of it, because otherwise we're more prone to have something else as our goal, which I'll make explicit now. but if we're conscientious about trying to give the benefit of the doubt when it's not imprudent to do so, but just out of love for the spiritual good of our neighbor, keeping that in mind, which means maybe we have to ask questions when there are signs that something may be wrong, obviously. I think you're good. But the reason why I think I myself and others are inclined not to give the benefit of the doubt at times and have not done so at times in the past is because, I mean, I think the main reason is because, again, we're fundamentally insecure. And if you're always giving the benefit of the doubt whenever there's a real doubt and you can, it's like you're more, you could, yeah, it's like it may be small things, but they add up, and you could, you know, you're in danger of being hurt in some way, of people sinning against you. I mean, first of all, you're in danger of being disappointed. You know, you're in danger of being this naive and then, you know, rudely awakened from that naivety. Mm-hmm. And you're in danger of people taking advantage. Oh, he always gives the benefit of the doubt. They can take advantage of you, and they can hurt you. Mm-hmm. In various ways, right? We all know that.
You can refuse it for different reasons too. I mean, unjustly, as some people out of pride get a joy when other people make mistakes. It's like, aha, I caught you. You know, I would have never made that mistake. I'm going to call you the mat for it because it makes me feel superior to talk about how much you failed. You know, it can be that sense of pride, or it can be a sense of fear. Those really always go together, pride and fear. Mm-hmm. And it could be either of those motives which push us to not give the benefit of the doubt, even when we should.
If we're acting authentic charity, even when we get hurt, that's not an issue. The question is, how does the Lord wish us to love in the moment? And that has nothing to do with whether I'm hurt or not, in one sense. I mean, because we have the cross hanging above us. That's what love looks like. That's what wisdom come in the flesh looks like. That's what charity come in the flesh looks like. So I think there are things that where we you know, you worry about if we're going to be doing the right thing, we have to ask him in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think he does give us direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with insecurity, that can be a big motive to not want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. But I think that's, if we can look higher, you know, we might say, okay, well, maybe people will start to take advantage of me. Maybe people will see me as a pushover. But, you know, in the end, so what? You know, in the end, I'm going to have to stand before God, you know, and what will he think of that? You know, it doesn't matter if people thought I was a pushover, but it will matter greatly if that one time I gave the benefit of the doubt to someone that almost no one else would have, and that one time was the person that helped, that was the time that helped that person turn a corner in their life and start to climb back up from out of the hole that they were in, mm-hmm. then I'll be glad to have that. I think of it this way, like I would rather be, this is maybe not really me, but this is what I would like to be me. I would rather, you know, give someone the benefit of the doubt, you know, 10 times and be wrong 9 times, you know, but be right once rather than like the other way around. Deny someone and then realize that, okay, I shouldn't have.
And it's not that you should seek to be a pushover, because you do have to balance, as we've been saying, giving the benefit of the doubt with prudence, but it's you're willing to risk the chance to put yourself out there for the sake of charity, for love, that you're willing to accept being vulnerable in some points for the greater good of acting like Christ.
If you're worried about whether you're going to be seen as a pushover, you're really thinking about yourself. Mm-hmm. That's an exercise in pride.
Yeah.
And if you, the question is, what does the Lord want us to do for the person who stands before us? And I think that's a better way out of the difficulty.
Yeah. So that's just something to think about. I think it's really important in all communal life, especially marriages, spouses, family life, siblings, and just family life in general, communal life, religious communal life. When people are like habitually giving each other the benefit of the doubt, you say, talk about, you know, pleasure and pain. If everyone's giving each other habitually, they're inclined to give the benefit of doubt, that makes communal life, that makes your life in general so much more pleasant.
You can avoid the trench warfare of never-ending resentments and acrimony.
That's right. It just gets worse and worse. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Well, another good discussion and another good place to end, a good note to end on. So thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Jerome, and I am a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic, and Father Boniface. Let's end now in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.